You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's a fairly bold statement. And you know, this is fairly a new type of preaching that was never heard in Israel before. Because never heard or read any of the prophets saying a statement like that, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." What does that mean? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do most people think of when they hear the phrase "the kingdom of heaven"? Well, most people think of the pie in the sky, and the great by and by, or something like that, or you get to go to heaven when you die. But this is not something that's at hand, because when you die, the kingdom of heaven, when you die, is not at hand. That's when you die. Now, if something is at hand, you know, I have an arm, and at the end of my arm, I have a hand. So if something is at hand, it means that it's within my reach. Who could dispute that? It's within my reach. If something is at hand, it means that I can take a hold of it. I can lay my hands on it. It's within my reach. So the kingdom of heaven is within our reach. That's what he's saying. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close. Because the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and I take these terms synonymously. The kingdom of God, of course, God being a generic term for that would be akin to Elohim in the Hebrew. The kingdom of God, of course, in this instance, in context, when you say the kingdom of God, biblically, you're speaking of the kingdom of our Creator, of the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. That's the way I like to put it, because, of course, He established the kingdom. And he is the king, ruling by his son, the Messiah, who is the King of Kings. He gave him a name above all names and a position above every other position. That's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is the king of the kingdom of heaven. He is the king of the kingdom of God. He is the king of the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, our Creator. His kingdom is at hand. And if it was at hand 2,000 years ago, is it still at hand today? Was it at hand before that? That's a good question. See, I would contend that the kingdom of God has always been a reality from the beginning. The kingdom of God is where the peculiar thing about kingdoms is every kingdom has a law. Because what is a kingdom without a law? A kingdom without a law and without a lawgiver is no kingdom at all, is it? How could you say, "I have a kingdom, but we have no law in my kingdom"? Well, that's not a kingdom, because there is no law. So a kingdom, one of the attributes of a kingdom is a kingdom has law, and a kingdom has a lawgiver. Well, the kingdom of God, the law of the kingdom of God, has always been from the beginning. As a matter of fact, it was laid down to Adam and Eve. The king, the creator, the lawgiver, he gave them the law. He said, "You can do anything you want. You can go anywhere you want. Have dominion. Be fruitful and multiply." So no, sex wasn't the original sin, as a lot of people would, the devil would have you believe, because he wants you to feel guilty for doing what our creator ordained. Of course, now you should feel guilty if you're doing it in a way that he did not ordain. The adultery statutes are part of his law, and the fornication, and rape and incest, and so on. But for a man and a woman to come together, not a problem. That's a good thing. It's something that he commanded. Be fruitful and multiply. And his law, he said, that he laid down the original man and woman, he says, you can do all of that, have dominion, except this one thing is mine. This tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's right here and I'm going to show it to you so you know where it is and what it is. This is mine. This is my property. I'm giving you everything, except I'm keeping this one thing to myself. Well, Adam and Eve broke a lot of laws when they partook of that fruit. Because he told them, he says, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So they committed they broke a lot of commandments, even murder, because they committed suicide in that day. When they ate of that fruit of that tree, because suicide is murder. It's thou shalt not kill. So they broke a lot of laws in that day. They broke a lot of commandments. Covetousness, theft, idolatry, murder. They broke just about every law there was when they partook of that. And that's another thing we were talking about, Herod, the governor, who made a law to the wise men. His law, see, because he put himself in the place of God. He made a law when he told the wise men, he says, he commanded them to return and report to him as to the whereabouts of the child. So that he could, and he lied to them, go and worship the child. And of course they chose the law of the kingdom of God over the law of the kingdoms of men. So we're talking about this John the Baptist, this character, Yohanan the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So he's out there in the sticks preaching. Saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's pretty much the main emphasis of the ministry the Heavenly Father has given me. And that's why I call my ministry Cross the Border. Because I want people to cross the border into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, that they may obtain eternal life. Because it's only by crossing the border into his kingdom that we can obtain eternal life. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved other than Yahshua, the Messiah, Jesus, our Redeemer. No other name was given than the name that he was given. It is the name above all names, Yahshua. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what does repent mean? Repent is a pretty bad word in the world, because that means you have to change. You have to stop doing whatever it is you're doing. You know, and I constantly am assailed by atheists, unbelievers, and skeptics because of some of the things that I put out there, a few videos that I put out there on my YouTube channel. And I hear from them continually, on an ongoing basis, some of them just sort of spewing with vitriolic, venomous, and perverse hatred and perverse language, just awful stuff I have to delete immediately. And some of them, I will answer because they try to come at it from a cool, collected, and intellectual type of a response. And so I'll answer them according to whatever it is. But the problem always comes down to one thing, repentance. You have to repent. That's how we cross the border into the kingdom of heaven. When he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying it's at hand. You can achieve it. You can enter into it. And here's how you do it. You repent. Everyone, everywhere, is called to repent and to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is the only way to obtain eternal life and to escape the second death. And we'll talk about the second death later for those of you who don't understand that phrase. But stick around and you will understand it. Repent. It means to change your mind about the things that you're doing, about the way that you're going, about the way that you're walking, and to consider the commandments of our Heavenly Father. Which commandments are you breaking? You know, and usually if you do repent, if you say, yes, I want that eternal life, I want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, well, the Holy Spirit His Holy Spirit will start talking to you. Yeah, you'll hear the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you may not hear a voice, but you'll hear something going on in your spirit. And what it will be is conviction, because the Holy Spirit will start convicting you of sin. When any time you consider walking with the Heavenly Father, any time you consider following Yahshua, Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit will come into your life and He will convict you of sin. Because He's giving you, by the conviction of sin in your life, He's giving you the opportunity to repent so that you can enter the kingdom of heaven. And He will come and He will convict you. Usually there's a big sin, and usually the big sin for most people is sexual sin or some type of idolatry having to do with sexual sin. Or it may be something else, but usually it's a biggie in your life, that big thing in your life, that one big sin that is holding you back from entering into communion with our Heavenly Father through the blood of His Son. Because you can't enter in until you repent. And among wicked men, or the unrepentant, because the word wicked, unrepentant, most people think, oh, I'm not wicked. Well, you know, maybe by earthly and the standard of the world, you're not wicked. Because, you know, they have their laws and they are lawgivers. And you can do a lot of things that are unlawful according to God's law, wicked in His eyes, that are not wicked in the eyes of men. For instance, you can murder your child before it's born, perhaps even after it's born. You know, if you do it quick enough and it's called an abortion, that's wicked. You can commit adultery. You can go and seduce another man's wife and sleep with her. The world is not going to punish you for that. There's no law against it. But in our Heavenly Father's eyes, it's wicked. It's wicked. You can go to the bar and lay with different women that have laid with other men, and that is bringing more than one man into the bed. That's the same thing as homosexuality according to God's law, because you have more than one man in bed with a woman. They may be not at the same time, but that wickedness is what spreads the venereal diseases that are so rampant in our society today. It's wickedness, according to the law of God. Promiscuity and, yeah, promiscuous sex is wicked. It's called fornication. Of course, fornication envelops every type of wicked and abominable sexual sin there is, from homosexuality to promiscuity to adultery. It's all encompassed, though some are capital crimes and some are not, according to the law of our Heavenly Father. All of these things are allowed under the laws of man. The law of men only covers, they have their own law, which is not God's law, which has nothing to do with God's law, is that if you, once you reach 18, you can't have sex with anyone under 18. And that's it. That's all that the law of man says. That's right. But beyond that, if both parties are under 18, well, they can do anything they want with anyone they want, anytime they want. And if both parties are over 18, they can do anything they want with anyone they want, anytime they want. So what kind of law is that? What kind of morality is that? That's no morality. That's immorality. That's the morality of the world, of the government of men. And it has nothing to do with the law of God. You will find no ageism in His law, no discrimination by age. So His kingdom has laws. The kingdoms of this world has laws. What's wicked in the world? Well, may not be wicked in the kingdom of heaven. But what's wicked in the kingdom of heaven may not be wicked in the world. Whose law are you going to follow? These wise men chose God's law. They chose the laws of the kingdom of God, and they disobeyed the laws of the kingdoms of men. You'll find it over and over in Scripture, that it comes down to a choice between the laws of the kingdom of God and the laws of the kingdom of men. Any law in the kingdoms of men, which is not a violation in the kingdom of God, is null and void. At least That's the principle that this nation, that's one of the lamb-like attributes that this nation was founded on. This nation, of course, being America, was founded on one of those principles. Let's continue in our text here. For this is that which was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahuwah, make his paths straight. And that's the way Isaiah would have said it. And instead, he would not have said the Lord. In the prophecy, you will find the name of the Creator. Of course, here in the King James Version, it says the Lord. So it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Yeah, the common people were coming out to be baptized by this prophet in the wilderness. Remember, we were talking about the buzz that was about in the land in the day. They were looking, the 70th week, the 69th week was just ending, and they were on the verge of the 70th week. You can imagine the buzz that was in the land in that day. And here this prophet appears out in the wilderness of Judea. And so now they're all the people are going out to see him. And he's preaching the kingdom of God. He's telling people to be baptized and be washed of their sin. And see, and repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And they signify this repentance by being submerged in the water and being washed clean of their sins and rising to new life. It's a sign. That's what the baptism was. And so he sees the religious leaders, and he sees the lawyers coming out to him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees coming out to him. You know, it'd be like me if I was preaching out in the wilderness, and here comes the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. And of course, the guy from the Crystal Cathedral. And, you know, you get the idea. All of these apostate heretics. You know, I'm not saying that everyone who attends with these congregations, I'm not saying all Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, some of them just may be genuinely deceived and have real faith and be walking ignorantly in the denomination that they were born into or somehow got wrangled into or deceived into. But these were the leaders that were coming out to him. The leaders of these sects were coming out to him. And he says, who has warned you? You generation of vipers. Oh, John, that's not a very nice thing to say, is it? You know, what would you think if you were coming out to me and I called you a generation of vipers? Yeah, how to influence people and win friends, right? Well, I'll tell you, John and Yahshua, they sure were offensive at times. Some of the things they said were very offensive. But he says, well, listen to what he says. The Pharisees and Sadducees, many of the Sadducees and Pharisees come unto him to his baptism. And he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he says to them, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Remember? His message is repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He's saying bring forth the fruits meet for repentance. Yes, repentance requires a work. Repentance is the work. It's like James wrote in his epistle. He says, you have faith? He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, faith without works is dead. And here the commandment is repent to enter the kingdom. And he's saying, you know, you're coming out to be baptized. Where's the fruit? meet for repentance. The baptism, the going through the motions of getting into the, entering into the water, and to signify that you're being washed clean of your sins without the fruit of repentance, it's meaningless. It will do you no good. And I would submit that most of the people that are baptized today, most of the people that go to great meetings and walk down the aisle and pray a prayer of repentance are just going through the motion to bring forth the fruit meet for repentance. We'll be back after this news break. Don't go anywhere.